Got it.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the... What? We good, right? I can hear me. Isn't that all that matters? Okay. And we're having people sing. Okay, lovely. We are a fun group. Anyway, good to see everyone this morning. Let's have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Amenzada.
Here.
Commissioner Brownsey.
Present.
Commissioner Dumlau.
Here.
Commissioner Groom.
Here.
Commissioner Ketchum.
Here.
Commissioner Luevano.
Here.
Commissioner Peskin.
Present.
Commissioner Turnbull Sanders.
Present.
Commissioner Vargas.
Here.
Chair Bochco.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay, and before we go to agenda changes, I would just like to say that today is the very last meeting for our dear Commissioner Vargas, and we all just want to acknowledge how much we're going to miss him and what a great, great friend he's become, and we want to make sure that we don't lose him in any way. And Commissioner Peskin, I think, has some special little words.
They're not particularly special. But I do want to associate myself with the chair's comments and say that I have made a friend who's going to stay a friend for as long as I shall be around. And Mark, it's really been a pleasure getting to know you and having you be my friend. Thanks.
Would you like to say anything on your goodbye? Goodbye.
I feel like I'm leaving the commission in a better state than it was when I got here, and that makes me happy and proud. And I'm very proud of my fellow commissioners. I'm extremely proud of our staff and how they've risen to the occasion. And I'm just proud. I'm very happy. You'll all be in my thoughts and prayers, and I won't be too far away. And if you get out of line, I'm coming back, so be careful.
All right. Good job.
Madam Chair, on behalf of staff, we would like to thank Commissioner Vargas for his public service and a champion of coastal access and environmental justice. And we appreciate all your support and wish you the best. So thank you so much, Mark.
And equal pay for women athletes. Yay. Okay. So now we'll... So now we're going to do our agenda changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning to the Commission and to everybody in the audience today. I do want to remind anyone who plans to speak to the Commission today to fill out a speaker slip and submit that right away. Speaker slips will not be accepted after the Chair announces an agenda item. Also want to mention that now's the time to please silence your mobile phone while you're in the meeting room so that you don't disturb the meeting. As far as agenda changes, it's just the two that were previously posted. Items 9A, which is the Federally application, that was postponed. And item 9B, the Voight application, and that matter was postponed. And that concludes the agenda changes.
All right, thank you. So we're going on to public comment. Luckily for everyone, we have a short agenda today, but unfortunately for some commissioners, they have flights at 1 o'clock down in Burbank. So I'm going to take as much public comment in the morning as I can, but to ensure that commissioners can make their flights, I will postpone some of it to after the agenda items, but it won't be very late, but it at least gets them to the airport before their flight. So I'm going to start with Sandra McLaughlin. I'm giving everyone their full 3 minutes, and so if you have someone who's seated, you can have six. Is that what you want? You have one.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good morning, commissioners, staff, and the public. We are Sandra McLaughlin and Wendy Lee, residents of Channel Islands Harbor. We are here today to speak to the issue of public beach access in the harbor, specifically at Lajeunesse Park, which has been closed to all but pedestrian traffic since August of 2017. On April 10th, 2018, Andrew Willis, California Coastal Commission Enforcement Supervisor, submitted a letter to Harbor Director Lynn Krieger stating that the closure of Lajeunesse Park cannot legally be implemented without a coastal development permit as required by the county's local coastal plan and under the Coastal Act. Mr. Willis has indicated that the present harbor director, Mark Sandoval, was working on a plan. Currently, May 2019, there is no physical evidence of any plan facilitating the opening of Lajeunesse Park to the public. Furthermore, Lajeunesse Park continues to deteriorate, evidenced by lack of maintenance of the road. As you can see here, we have signs before and after when it was open and now that it's been closed. And parking lot. Vandalism of the historical murals and the theft of the dedicated memorial plaque honoring the Lajeunesse. Lajeunesse Park, Silver Strand, and Hollywood Beach are part of the Ventura County C1 segment of the California Coastal Trail. With no public transportation to the area, limited to no parking allowed on nearby residential streets, and a very small opening, as you can see, in the pedestrian gate, public access and enjoyment of the beach and the coastal trail has become very limited. It is a loss of visitor-serving parking and scenic viewing for residents, vacationers, fishermen, surfers, bicyclists, beachgoers, and the handicapped. We, the community and visitors, are requesting that the Coastal Commission take immediate action in directing staff to either get a coastal development permit application from the county, begin enforcement proceedings, or direct the opening of Lajeunesse Park gate and parking lot to all beachgoers. The summer beach season is fast approaching, and in the past, Lajeunesse Park has always been a popular location for a day at the beach. Oxnard is a city with a high Latino population, and with the recent adoption of your environmental justice policy, this is an opportunity where the commission has the legal ability to make the park available to all. Thank you for your time and attention, and come and visit us on the Coastal Trail in Channel Islands Harbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Betty Winholtz.
Good morning. My name is Betty Winholtz, and I am a co-chair of the Morro Bay Citizens for Affordable Living, representing 30 core members, 300 supporters, and 2,000 protest voters out of the city of 10,000 people. Our sewer plant project is scheduled to come to you in 2 months, but we continue to speak to you ahead because we believe the commission, appointed elected officials, should be the ones to decide whether public participation can be abridged through consolidation, not by staff. So far, unfortunately, you have responded by omission of action. Without a local hearing first, you don't know what questions to ask. For example, one of those proposed changes will place 4 sewer pipes running longitudinally within the state highway right-of-way of Highway 1. Highway 1 is an access control state highway. And in the Chapter 10 of Caltrans book, it expressly prohibits this kind of activity. How can a coastal development permit be issued when it goes against state law? Another change is now to State Highway 1 at South Bay Boulevard. This is an interchange that will be impacted by construction. It daily receives 15,000 to 45,000 trips per day. Our city streets and State Park Road cannot handle this volume. A third point is that grading permits are normally given by our county engineering department for drainage. This project is scheduled to have 107,000 cubic yards. The normal tipping point is 5,000. Dust control, asbestos control, because of the presence of serpentine rock at the site, is under our local ACPD district. Will you comply with our local provisions? Also, our sedimentary and erosion control is also part of the county engineering decision. Will you also abide by those local provisions? How much lead time is necessary to prepare a coastal development permit report? Your staff has 60 days, and our addendum to the EIR will not be ready until June. So, with as many enforcement issues as your staff deals with, We would rather you not take away local control of our CDP conditions.
Thank you. James Warner.
Good morning. James Warner, resident, City of Morro Bay. I'm appearing today to insist upon the right of the citizens of Morro Bay to be heard locally on the matter of the proposed City of Morro Bay wastewater treatment and waste and water reclamation projects. According to the State of California Coastal Act, Section 30006, citizens of Morro Bay have a legal right to local public hearings where public testimony will be taken and recorded. To date, the only public hearing held on these matters by the City of Morro Bay was that of the Environmental Impact Report in the first half of 2018. Furthermore, a public hearing should have been held regarding the coastal development plan on these same projects, but was negated by the city and thus disallowed public testimony as a result. While the City of Morro Bay Mayor John Heading claims that over 200 opportunities to be heard have been provided, such a claim is simply a twisted one. For example, less than 24 hours ago, the City of Morro Bay Wastewater Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee met. The public was obliged to respond to the topic of the meeting before any discussion or testimony was given and before any Q&A with staff was made. I am unhappy with that because I had no opportunity to address the statements or the Q&A provided. It's simply literally putting the cart before the horse. In closing, I cannot help but observe that this struggle for the citizens to have their enfranchised moment of testimony, to me, seems not unlike what we're seeing at the national level, where we're struggling to find out what is in the Mueller report without redaction. They're not exact comparisons, but I think you get my point. Furthermore, it appears that a conflict of interest of certain San Luis Obispo County government officials who reside in the City of Morro Bay exists. Furthermore, that county government agencies, in an effort that at the local and state levels, are in an effort and are colluding and engaging in an effort to break the law that guarantees the ordinary citizens, such as myself, the right to formally be heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard E. T. Sadowski.
Your EJ policy is basically not worth the paper it's written on. That's the way I feel. 4 years, I sat on the Morro Bay Planning Commission. I met with your staff and continually talking about the Morro Bay Wastewater Treatment Plant. For 4 years, they said, we don't have any involvement because we don't have a CDP yet. Last week, at a Board of Supervisors meeting, county staff says the Coastal Commission is steering the ship of consolidation. When you're a public appointed official or elected official, you have a public trust doctrine. I took that seriously. It has a higher bar of fiduciary duty. It's like being an executor to a family trust. It's not your money. It's the public's. The Coastal Commission is, the Coastal Commission should be acting like the first responder to this climate crisis instead of rebranding climate change to make money. You know what I would recommend before you even consider this ridiculous project is every single one of you go to your respective towns and get on call 24/7 to sewer collection emergency, sewer collection emergencies, and then come back, like I asked your staff 4 years ago, how a lift station in the existing wastewater treatment plant area is a safer public health and safety than what we have right now. This whole project is an embarrassment for California. It is like, we have a town that's building their own sewer plant, Cayucas. We're going to have less flow. We should be fixing our collection system. That's what we should be doing, not designing for cracked pipes so we can upscale. They did that in Los Osos. Los Osos right now has a plant that needs to pump well water to operate because it was overbuilt. And then we have local or regional county staff boasting how great that was. We need intervention by the Coastal Commission, like right now, because it's like we have plenty of documents that I've put in the packet. If you read your packets, you could see that the data, the good science, it doesn't make any sense what the science says. We have a leaky collection system infiltrating into our drinking water aquifer, and that's what we should be addressing. Address the collection system first. We're in a liquefaction zone.
All righty, Marla Jo Bruton Sadowski.
Good morning, Marla Jo Sadowski. I'm from Homefront Environmental Justice, Morro Bay. And, there we go. We're frustrated. I've always appreciated the Coastal Commission, and it's pretty sad to have to be up here talking to you the way I have to talk to you. I've been trying to find the coastal development application. I've been asking one of your staff, and he's also an environmental justice head of the staff, for the CDP application. And I keep getting, you'll see over here, if I can, it's not going to go. There we go. Right here, May 3, all right, I asked him, where's the CDP application? Do you have it yet? Hello, Marla Jo. The city has not yet applied for the CDP, so nothing to report at this time. When the city does, I will let you know. Thanks. In between when I asked him this, I was searching buried city records, and I found this, a coastal development permit application for Morro Bay new water reclamation facility submitted to California Coastal Commission, submitted by City of Morro Bay, date February 14, 2019. This is just one example of what we have to put up with. Our city lies to us. And I'm still trying to find out from the Coastal Commission if it's been submitted. After I sent this document to them, it's already been 3 or 4 days, and I haven't got a simple yes or no. Was this submitted? And as far as environmental justice goes, when you talk, I was involved with this policy, and then I turn around and the Coastal Commission is going to consolidate, which means eliminate our local public hearings and our local public participation on a very controversial project that the city is behind the ball, even having their ducks in a row. It doesn't match doesn't match right here, what you're looking at. It doesn't match for this commission to take away our public hearings. And the county areas, there's the Morro Bay, and the plant is in the county. The county residents are just, in Los Osos, just now finding out about this, and they're not happy.
Thank you. Before I move on to another topic, Jack, is this Dan Carl's district?
Yes, yes,
could
ma'am.
Could he perhaps talk to these people
sure.
and give them a little more information about what we're doing and what our role is?
And
no,
so,
ma'am.
Yeah, we'll be, and just for your information, our plan is to bring this to hearing, this project to hearing in July in San Luis Obispo.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'll be a local hearing. So.
A local hearing in July yeah. for us. So if you contact Dan Carl's office, he can give you the present status, and then we'll be seeing you all in July. Okay. Charles Hamm.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. My name is Charles Hamm. I'm a real estate broker. I work in Oxnard, California, and I'm a realtor. First off, I'd like to say that in accessing the agenda for today's meeting last night, I got an error page. And accessed it again a little bit later and got another error page. This morning I accessed it and I got the same error page, but it did flow this time to the lives, the meeting. So I wanted to raise that issue because it kind of fits with some of the other issues that I'd like to raise this morning as well. I would say a couple months ago I got word of the adaptation policy guidance document. It's a good almost 300 pages of reading. And as I read through it, which I don't think very many people do, because it's almost 300 pages, I got down to about page 170 and wanted to let you know about my opposition to some of the language that I think is probably some of the most important language to the public. And I'm going to read from your document. Various recommendations of this guidance may potentially give rise to takings concerns, because the determination of whether a particular regulation may in some circumstances be applied in a way that constitutes a taking is so fact-intensive and context-specific, this guidance cannot provide a simple set of parameters. So basically, the public should be on notice that this document is laying the groundwork for takings. And not only that, it's instructing the agencies as to how to do a taking without having to pay for the taking. Because if you do a partial taking, you don't have to pay for it. If you do a complete taking, you do, because of our U.S. and California constitutions require just compensation. I oppose takings. I think one of the things that makes our California coastline so great is the mixture of property owners doing what they do to make it easy for the public to come and enjoy the California coast. And the takings do just that. They take that away. So I oppose requiring homeowners to remove existing and functioning shoreline protections. I oppose mandatory participation in a managed retreat program. I think there's probably a way to figure out some way to do some kind of a zoning regime so that the California Coastal Commission can do what it has been charged to do. But scaring property owners away sends the wrong message, and that's what this does. And I'd like people to know more about it, too, by not burying the information in page 200.
Thank you very much. Cheryl Aronson?
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I'm here with concerns about the draft residential adaptation policy guidance. As a local realtor, I strongly disagree with the definition of an existing structure being that of any development built prior to January 1, 1977. I also oppose requiring homeowners to remove existing functioning shoreline protections. I oppose limiting the ability of homeowners to update, redevelop, or expand an existing home. A homeowner's right to remodel and redevelop should not be limited if the house is habitable. I oppose mandatory participation in the managed retreat program that would force the removal and relocation of houses that are still habitable. I oppose any proposal in which a homeowner must pay to have their own home and appurtenant structures condemned and removed. I oppose any proposal in which a homeowner would have to pay to have their own home. I already said that. I oppose the use of overlay zones and the imposition of land use restrictions and directly relevant to an existing and immediate hazard. And I oppose government-imposed deed restrictions. And I request that the Coastal Commission provide written notification to all owners of property located in the coastal zone about both the residential adaptation guideline development process and the local coastal program process. Both notifications should include instructions on how and when the public can provide written and or oral comments. In closing, as a realtor, I'm very concerned that the proposed regulations impact constitutional private property rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia Howley, and I apologize, I got you separated from the pack.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I'm Cynthia Hawley, here on behalf of Homefront Environmental Justice, Morro Bay. First of all, I want to let you know that Homefront filed a request for a cease and desist order against the County of San Luis Obispo for the actions that it took to approve the consolidation of the permitting for the Morro Bay Sewage Treatment Plant. And as you know, there's one major criteria for consolidation. And consolidation really isn't consolidating or bundling anything. It's eliminating local permitting process. And the one thing that you have to have in order to have the authority to do it is that the consolidation itself cannot cause impairment, substantial impairment to public participation. And in this case, it does. It impairs public participation, and nobody's arguing that. The county didn't make a finding that it did not impair it, and they didn't even bring it up in their staff report. So I'm going to put this into the record, and this is our request for a cease and desist order for them to take any action in relation to the consolidation. And after I wrote that, I went back and looked at my notes for the meeting of the April 23rd of the Board of Supervisors, and I had transcribed parts of it. And here's something that was a conversation between Supervisor Compton and the planning director. And in response to one of her questions, the planning director said, "It's not something that we can dictate. It's something that Coastal wants. And they're driving the project kind of like this one." Supervisor Compton said, "So they came to us and said, we want to consolidate this one." And the planning director said, "Yes." And so it's worked with the jurisdictions to make sure that everybody's on board. So what we've got here is the Coastal Commission directing other agencies, getting them on board to violate the Coastal Act. So we want to know what's going on. Did the Coastal Commission do this? This is a statewide issue now. If the Coastal can do this in Morro Bay, they can do it anywhere. This is happening. And who chooses which projects get to go to Coastal first without any kind of local hearing or even notice of local hearing? Who decides that?
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go to the agenda items, and I'll come back to more public comment. I've got about 30 or 40 minutes of it left, but this ensures our commissioners get to go to their airport. Okay, Dan. Not Dan. Carl. Dan on the plane. Dan, Carl. Carl, Dan.
Right. Thank you, Madam Chair. So that takes us to item 5, which is the administrative calendar for South Coast District, Orange County. There are two routine dock projects in Newport Beach, conditions are acceptable to the applicants. There's no known opposition. So staff's recommending concurrence with the executive director and approval of the administrative calendar.
Okay. Any ex parte? Concur.
Thank you. Item six is the Deputy Director's report for South Coast District. There are three immaterial permit extensions being reported. There were no comments received on two of the extensions, but staff did receive a response from several residents to the time extension for the Irvine Company's CDP 51587, which authorized construction of a restaurant and adjacent dock system at 201 East Coast Highway in Newport Beach. The comments we received essentially restate the residents' original concerns with the project when it was reviewed by the commission in 2017. But they didn't identify any new changed circumstances affecting the proposed project's consistency with the Coastal Act. So staff continues to recommend no objection to the time extension. Also, staff is reporting on two emergency permit waiver requests we received from the City of Laguna Beach for replacing riprap along a segment of Laguna Canyon Creek near 20612 Laguna Canyon Road, and one to address drainage issues near Bluebird Park. In both cases, staff couldn't grant the waivers because the city provided the notice several weeks to several months after the strict three-day reporting period that's required under Section 30611 of the Coastal Act. So the city's going to simply need to go back and process regular CDPs for those items, which they would have had to do anyway. At least I think one is one the city will need to process, and one is one that will handle through a pending appeal. So with that, staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination and approve these items on the deputy director's report.
Okay. Any objection to concurrence of the deputy director's report? Seeing no objection, we concur.
Thank you. So item seven is for moving items from regular calendar to consent. We don't have any of those to report today, so that takes us to item 8A. There's a staff PowerPoint on this.
Here for questions.
So item 8A is the City of Dana Point Local Coastal Program Amendment 1-17. The proposed amendment would modify the Coastal Visitor Commercial District zoning designation to add additional specific non-visitor serving uses within the CVC zoning district above the ground floor only and subject to approval of a conditional use permit in addition to any required coastal permit. Next slide, please. Originally, this amendment also included changes to the Monarch Beach and Capistrano Beach LCPs. However, the city has since withdrawn that portion of the amendment request, so the agenda right now describes both the original proposed changes to those areas, but the amendment that's before you is just regarding the CVC designation. The City of Dana Point's LCP, if we could go back to that prior slide. There we go. So the City of Dana Point's LCP is broken into a number of geographic LCPs that are shown here on this slide. There's in yellow, pink, orange, green, and blue. These separate LCP documents are artifacts of the city's formation from several unincorporated areas of the county. Over time, the city expects to bring the LCP into one unified plan, but the subject amendment the current request is just regarding the Dana Point specific plan, which is in blue on this slide. Next slide, please. So the proposed amendment modifies the coastal visitor commercial zoning designation to allow non-visitor serving uses above the ground floor. Slide 3 shows where these uses are. They're outlined in red. The newly allowed uses in these areas include administrative and professional offices, personal services such as beauty shops, barber shops, and dry cleaners, banks and savings and loans, optometry, and dental offices. Currently, only visitor serving uses and uses accessory to those uses are allowed within the district. The visitor commercial zone implements the tourist recreation commercial land use plan designation. And although the certified LUP prioritizes and encourages visitor serving uses, it also recognizes that allowing limited non-visitor serving uses within this commercial visitor district can provide benefits as well. As reflected in the LUP policies, uses promoted by the LUP within the designation include multiple use developments and a varied mix of uses that would facilitate both seasonal and year-round activities. A survey of visitor serving uses was conducted for the area. The survey compares uses available now with those present when the plan was originally put together in 1984. And that survey found that the number and scale of visitor serving uses within the area have increased over time. The number of hotels has increased from 2 to 4, providing a total of almost 500 guest rooms. Number of restaurants has increased from 43 to 51. And the other visitor serving uses have also increased, including a new interpretive center, art gallery, surf shops, and bike rental shops. So the proposal to allow non-visitor serving uses within the visitor district will still prioritize visitor serving uses in the ground floor area, which will still be required to be utilized entirely for those uses. In addition, the visitor serving uses will be allowed outright, subject to any required coastal development permit, whereas the non-visitor uses would be subject to approval of a conditional use permit as well as the CDP. So that provides an additional layer of review. In addition, all the uses proposed in the zone must still comply with all the other requirements of the LCP, including protection of public access and public views. And the proposed LCP amendment doesn't make any changes to current parking requirements. Next slide, please. So for these reasons, staff's recommending commission find the amendment is consistent with and adequate to carry out the visitor serving policies of the certified land use plan and to approve the amendment as submitted. And the motions to, or the motion to accomplish this is on page 3 of the staff report. Just before I conclude, I want to correct for the record in the staff report exhibit 5 and on page 7, there's a reference to just being 3 sites with visitor serving designations, but there's actually 4, so which was depicted on the slide. And that concludes staff's comments.
Okay, any ex partes? No. I have one speaker slip here for questions from Mr. Paul Klukas, if anyone has any questions. What's the will of the commission? Do you want to make a motion? Go ahead.
Okay, I move the commission reject implementation plan amendment number 1-17 to the Dana Point specific plan 1986 LCP as submitted by the City of Dana Point and recommend no vote.
Would you care to speak to your motions? Okay. The makers of the motions are asking for a no vote. Is there any unwillingness for a unanimous no vote? Seeing no objection, the motion passes.
So thank you, Madam Chair. That does conclude the South Coast District's agenda for today. We originally had much more on the agenda. You had the 2 postponements, but we actually had a number of other items we were planning to schedule. But at the last minute on all of these projects, the applicants decided to make some fairly significant changes that we hope will improve those projects, and we'll be bringing those back at the next hearing. So,
okay. Do we have any other agendized things, Jack?
Yes, Madam Chair. We've got the statewide items.
Okay.
Go back to those. The first one is item 24, the approval of the minutes for the April meeting.
Okay.
So we need a motion for approval.
care to move the
second?
Luevano made the motion, seconded by Groom. Any objection to approving the minutes? Seeing none, we approve.
Next item is item 25, and that's the any commissioner reports.
Okay. Sure. I'm sorry, what?
Any commissioner reports?
Anyone have a commissioner report? No.
Okay. Item 26, conservancy report, coastal conservancy?
That's next week.
All right. Item 27 is the Santa Monica Mountains conservancy report.
Yeah, I have a brief.
Oh, that's the other one.
He's the bay, she's the mountain.
Yeah. Too much Santa Monica going on. Okay, no report. Okay, that brings us to item 28, which is Santa Monica Bay restoration report.
The Santa Monica Bay restoration. As you heard on Wednesday, there was an extensive report on in terms of their activities, and there was a good representation of what they do. I also was going to refer to the legislative report that indicated a bullet point for an asterisk for bill number AB 1511, which affects the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission in terms of its administrative responsibilities being transferred from the conservancy to the coastal.
Oh, no. It was the water board to the coastal conservancy.
Right. I don't have it in front of me because I
yeah.
But so I mean that's basically what I wanted to report. I did send an email to Director Ainsworth to get a feel for what the commission's position would be on that. Apparently, it's not really affecting us in any way. So I think that basically it's a FYI type of item.
It's a good transfer. The Coastal Conservancy is better equipped to deal with the issues surrounding the restoration activities of the Bay Restoration Commission. So it makes a lot of sense.
That's all I have to report. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. That brings us down to the Deputy Attorney General's report.
Uh-huh.
Any report? Nothing report. All right. So we can go back to public comments, Madam Chair.
Okay. Very good. I do want us to have a discussion at some time and tell me whether it needs to be agendized just on the way we conduct public comment. You know, we've been having a lot of very, very lengthy sessions, and it's beginning to be a little difficult to control. So I'm just wanting the commissioners to think about this, you know, what we could do maybe to improve the process so that people are heard, but also we can continue to do our agendized items in a timely fashion. So I think we could, what's the best process for this? Is just everyone to come back with their thoughts and have an open hearing on it, or?
Yeah, I think because it involves the public, it would be good to agendize it and have that discussion in open session and get public comment on any ideas and move forward. Ironically,
public comment on public comment. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about, you know, the next couple of months in terms of what the agendas are going to be, but obviously you don't want to make another very long day because we're trying to make our days a little more efficient. But we'll see. Okay.
Well, we'll work with you, Madam Chair, and Vice Chair, and we can come up with strategy.
Great. Thank you so much. You're very welcome. Margot Griswold? Hi. You have a number of speaker slips, seating time. How much time would you like?
I think I can talk to you in about 6 minutes.
All righty.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for allowing me to speak again. Margot Griswold, as a restoration ecologist with over 25 years' experience in Southern California, I want you to know I support a project in the Biona wetlands to preserve, enhance, and restore historic habitats. However, currently, a coherent alternative that examines true restoration with reestablishment and rehabilitation of habitats is and always was missing from this discussion and this process. The current alternatives are focused not on the wildlife and optimal benefits to those wildlife that were historically present. They just leave it out completely. In fact, these wildlife persist. I would like to clarify a few things based on the presentations by staff on, I'm confused about what day I'm on anymore, the first day of your meetings. Dr. Stein was talking about the historical ecology of Bayona wetlands. Also, he left out this important information from the classification of California estuaries based on natural closing patterns. Dr. Dave Jacobs, Eric Stein, and Dr. Travis Longcore as authors. Also, Dr. Longcore is author of the historical ecology. There's some important aspects I'd like to clarify, although Dr. Stein did mention that historically Bayona wetlands closed was not a full tidal coastal wetland. This is an important fact for the commission to understand. If you notice this T-sheet, you do not see any tidal, or there are few tidal marsh channels evident. And this suggests, and I'm quoting from the classification document published in 2011, suggests that the tidal condition in the system have not been a pervasive impact on the system, as would be the case in a perennial tidal marsh. So this is science that's being glossed over. And why is that? I hadn't thought to bring it up again because people proposing the project, when I've spoken in the past from 2012 through now, when we're together speaking in tandem, they will say, oh yeah, no, Margo, it's not a restoration. We're doing these things. But for the commission, it's very important to understand because you only allow the degradation and impact of wetlands if it is for restoration. I am past president of the California Society for Ecological Restoration, and here are our definitions. These are definitions shared by national organizations and the government. It is the process, restoration is the process of intentionally altering a site to a defined indigenous historic ecosystem. The goal of the restoration is to emulate the structure, function, diversity, and dynamics of the specified system. Creation establishes a historic ecosystem on lands that did not previously support that. And so it's important for you to see that. Restoration can be divided into two activities, reestablishment and rehabilitation. And I would say that's what's missing in the proposed project for the restoration of the Bayona wetlands. Specifically, alternatives proposed represent an approach to create a generic coastal and perennial full tidal wetland that was not historically present, as documented in the histories that Dr. Stein presented and that I alluded to earlier. You're all very familiar with this photo by now. I think that the current project should focus more on a heterogeneous nature of the wetlands that were historically here. Why are we going to remove soil from wetlands, defined wetlands, and create flood control berms on said wetlands? I think if you notice, I'm not sure which is the pointer. Top. I'm trying to put. Oh. Those famous drains are there that, sorry, now I've gone way past. those drains are there that are draining a wetland. But if they drain it completely, you have an upland. So, you know, they're planting a huge pyramidal berm on top of that wetland that is being drained now. I just think that this whole process needs to be open to the public, and I would ask for the support of the commission as we go forward to ask the Department of Fish and Wildlife to open this up to the public, to re-examine the goals. I know you're thinking, that's crazy, how can we do that? There's too much animosity. Let me tell you, as a consultant, I have worked with the Department of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power in the Owens Valley, on the Owens Lake. What can be more contentious? But yet, I've worked for the last 4 years with a habitat work group made up of local interested persons who know their area very well, and we paid attention. We were all respectful, and we've all come up with an amazing plan that's working. I think Commissioner Vargas is familiar with the activities of the Owens Lake. We have a working solution there. It wasn't easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but nothing you really want is easy. So that's
okay.
All
well,
I have to
say. Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Okay, Patricia McPherson. You have 9 minutes.
Thank you. Patricia McPherson, Grassroots Coalition. Thank you, Billy. I have a small presentation. And thank you, Commissioner Brownsey, for your ex-party communication. I was not aware of it until the 8th. So this is my response to what I've seen in that ex-party communication. Also, I would like to remind you, per what Margot Griswold just said, there's no question that Biona is a seasonal freshwater wetland. The history is there, and it's in Travis Longhore, Eric Stein's paper as well. But in addition, the LA Regional Water Quality Control Board has it classified all as potential drinking water, and the Prop 65 lawsuit that was raised against SoCalGas that they lost also had the stipulation that Prop 65, it is classified as drinking water. And that's what they have to maintain monitoring. They have to remediate the contamination that they've done to the drinking water. And when they dig this out, this number 7 stipulation that I showed you on the 8th was that they would no longer have to do that because the classification of groundwater would be changed. It would no longer be drinking water. They would not have to do that. Getting to the ex-party communication, thank you so much for how well you've defined who you talked to here, which you had a conversation for about an hour and a half with members of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Regarding the freshwater marsh, they explained to you that the marsh is not part of Biona Wetlands, but rather leased to another property owner by the State Lands Commission. While that is what they have said, the settlement agreement that this commission was a part of was again updated in 2006, as I showed you. This commission never switched to the Biona Conservancy. It stayed with the Biona Wetlands Foundation, which included the State Lands Commission. So that's an unresolved issue that we would like to see resolved here. The property owner leased to another property owner, that's Playa Vista. In that settlement agreement, the Coastal Conservancy is supposed to provide the money to service this marsh management. It does not say in there that it's to be Playa Vista that's the manager. We need an independent manager. This developer has all their interests at stake, obviously, at removing the water. I mean, you know by now that I've been involved with the gas issues there. We have a whole new gas mitigation system there. They have lowered the groundwater there by about 20 feet, according to the water board. They throw all that water away into the sanitary sewer. Why are we allowing that to happen? And we also know that they are diverting the freshwater. As it says here, that Fish and Game, thank you, that they are talking about ongoing efforts to coordinate. But this has been going on since the Department of Fish and Wildlife garnered the land in 2003. They knew this. So did the Bay Foundation and the Coastal Conservancy, who were the authors of the DEIR. None of this information is included in the DEIR. The public has no idea. The public has no idea, and neither does the Bay Foundation, apparently because they haven't done their homework on Playa Vista, which is the adjacent site, which in CEQA you do the adjacent effects. And again, the DEIR has no actual hydrology study. There is only a hydraulic study that shows you what is the water coming down that channel should they remove the levees and how is it going to scour. But the hydrology was never inculcated into that DEIR, which is why it's so flawed. And why we are here is trying to stop having to do a lawsuit and to not take the time. I believe Edith Reed yesterday said, I don't care whether it's freshwater or saltwater, just get to it. And I agree from that standpoint. And from Andrew Willis, who said that if they are harming Biona by taking away the water, then we can do something, meaning the commission. Well, so can the department. The Department of Fish and Wildlife told you that they have no control over that water, but they do because they have a stream bed alteration agreement. Even the 2006 settlement agreement disallowed any harm to Biona or that freshwater marsh. So we have a system that's designed to overflow, but they're not allowing that overflow to occur, which you saw in the videos. Fish and Wildlife does play a role in that. They can speak, as can this commission, as we are asking. And we needn't wait for a DEIR to deal with any of that. We simply need to say, quit diverting the water. Let this water return to Biona. And all of those spider maps that I showed you of all of the groundwater being taken out from under Playa Vista and thrown away into the sanitary sewer, their EIR specifically states they're to bring the groundwater to the surface, cleanse it, and reuse it on site to recharge those underlying aquifers. And that's just not being done. But as the commission, you can act on that, according to Andrew. And we know that the commission has already said that the illegal drains were harming Biona. So by extension of that, it equates to this is far much more water that's being diverted and taken away from Biona. So let's have it back, and let's have it back now. And let's get a hydrology analysis on this site also, which we can talk about that later, but these are action items that we can deal with now. I think I just went over what was in the drains. They talked about significant damage that would occur with result of those. Well, you know, and Commissioner Peskin, you brought this up first. I mean, originally when they put that main drain in, they had to dig that up. They had to do the archaeology studies and everything then. So what's going on that they're telling you that this has to be done? As a matter of fact, if you look at the photo in the lower right there, that hole is a photograph from Edith Reed that she gave to the Coastal Commission when this issue first arose. Well, who dug that out? Why do we have no mention of that huge hole that apparently department is saying that this is such a monstrous thing to do to get rid of those pipes, and yet someone's already digging there and we never even learn about it, and I still don't know. I found this picture and thought, what the heck is that? So in any case, I think I've covered all of these issues now. And again, I reminded you that it was a freshwater. And if I may, is it possible for me to cede the rest of my time to someone else that's here that ceded me the time?
No, but Suzanne Cumming is coming up. She's Biona Wetlands, too.
All right. Can I cede her the rest of my time? Or?
No, not really. Right. But anyway.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Suzanne Cumming's next. You'll have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Chair Basco and Honorable Commissioners. I don't need 3 minutes, but I'd like to build and include on all the points that Patricia McPherson made. My name is Suzanne Cumming. I'm a resident of Mariner's Village and Marina Del Rey, where many great blue herons live that hunt for food in the Biona wetlands. I'm an attorney, and I'm concerned about the integrity of the DEIR. First, the DEIR that may have been provided to your fine staff was paid for. It was funded by those entities that want to bulldoze the wetlands. All three of the restoration alternatives presented favor bulldozing the wetlands. Second, there is no thorough hydrology study submitted with the DEIR. Thirdly, the DEIR does not thoroughly address Southern California Gas's equipment and many wells in the wetlands. Just recently, there's been a blowout right where I live. Because the DEIR is seriously flawed, I am concerned that if this commission supports a bulldozing option, litigation will follow. When this comes before you for a vote, please vote to protect the freshwater alternative, or for a new, thorough, and fair DEIR study. Thank you.
Thank you. Nella or Nicola Roy? Sorry. Nila? Oh, hi.
Hello.
State your names, please.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of California Committee, Coastal Committee. My name's Netta Roy.
Netta.
And Netta. This is Mr. Cairo. I have a service.
Hi, Mr. Cairo.
He's a service dog. And I am the president of Surf City Gymnastics. And he takes care of all the kids who have blocks on the balance beams. I am here because my gymnastics center was illegally closed down. It is located at 21571 Surveyor Circle, Huntington Beach, California, 92646. And I believe you can help me set it correct so this won't happen again. Our gymnastics center has illegally been closed down, and it's illegal to close down an education center, especially that the rent was paid. And I have all the receipts. Surf City Gymnastics has been established since 2012, and that was my happiest moment. And then it was closed down on March 28th, and I was in New York helping my dad, and I couldn't do anything about it. And that was my hardest moment. Surf City Gymnastics are USA Gymnast certified coaches and independent contractors. Also SoCal Women's Gymnastics Coaches Association. We are a USA Gymnastics Educated Center club. Please check your phones on the website, awesome website, which is usag.org. Scroll down to education and USAG Education University. We train our coaches, students, parents, and I'm not only the president, but I'm also a student. We train them in, you can see in School of Recreational Gymnastics, School of Competitive Gymnastics, School of Business, School of Judging, also the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, which is a great course, very smart. I believe all teachers and coaches should watch it. I learned a lot. We have coaches meetings on the first Monday of every month. We offer over 30 classes Monday through Sunday. Check Surf City Gymnastics website. Read brochure. So, this is my last brochure. This is our gymnastics center. Gymnastics is the root of all sports. We go to school for our mind. We go to gymnastics for our bodies. Gymnastics teaches awareness, discipline, routine, patience, strength, flexibility, balance, and learning how to break down each skill until understood. We offer sleepovers. You can see Valentine's through New Year's. We also have gymnastics camp. And we have recreational gymnastics and we have competitive gymnastics, USAG levels.
Dear, your time is up. Is there anything specific you wanted to ask us?
Yes, very important. Okay. Now that I established that. My gymnastics center is right over here, and it falls under your, see the little red line?
Uh-huh.
That's under your guys' jurisdiction. It took me a while to figure that out. I wish I knew the process better, because otherwise it would have been a lot simpler. I need to fix this hole in the building. So I have a hole in my building, and March 8th is Women's International Day, and the reason for that was because 123 women died in New York because of maintenance and bad management, or incorrect management. And this is why I'm here. I'm here to help correct this, and we need to fix this hole. It's really simple if we add the foam, because there's too much insulation there. Now, the process, I am on, I believe it is called... this. It's a sanctuary. So since it's a sanctuary, I have a choice. I have a choice to go to City of Huntington Beach, and I check their website, really good website, or I could go to OC, which so I could pull the correct permits, because I need to do this correctly.
All right, honey. Can I just stop you there, because we really don't know how to do those things ourselves. So
I have a book.
I have
Mr. Henry Huntington, and this is what he said. Yes, I got it from Main Street Library, and Mr. It's all in this book. It's an amazing book, and he said that you need the only thing that you could have on this land is agriculture and education. Because otherwise, he said something else, which is really important. When he first started, he asked to get the people together, because otherwise the other cities around the area will be taking away from our land.
Netta, darling.
Yes.
We have to stop now,
That's
but I'll tell
I
you what.
I have to go to City of Huntington Beach to do it correctly.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Can I make a suggestion? Why don't you give us, do you have an email address?
Yes.
Would you give staff your email address, and we can email to you some suggestions of how best to approach this problem? Because we're a state agency, so we don't really get to get involved with Huntington Beach and stuff on that level, but I'm sure we can figure out somewhere to direct you and give you some help. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Can I finish my request, my last piece? It's simply my request of the California Coastal Committee is to get a call from the judge to open the gymnasium, to start classes, and then give the kids free gymnastics for the ones that believed in me, and they're still helping me out.
Okay.
Please help me set it correct.
All right. So
and
if
a
you
permit
give
me to fix the hole.
Okay, so we don't have permits for holes, but
yes,
I'll tell you
do.
What.
I can appeal.
No, darling, please. Just give us your email address, and we will follow up with you, I swear.
Gmail.
Well, just write it down, and we'll have it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I appreciate it.
I thought you were going to be my answer to help me out.
I wish I was.
You were the correct area that should be taking care of this.
We wish we were.
Because it's agriculture and education, and it's the only thing, and it's on the coast. That's the beauty of it. You can help.
I know. Okay, darling.
Because it would have
been. Thank you. Thank you. Truthfully, we will help you if we can.
Thanks.
Keeping us.
I drove.
Yes, thank you.
It breaks my heart.
On a quarter the gas tank of gas, and I made it. God loves me. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, everyone. Oh, my magic pen.
Card.
And my card.
Thank you.
I tried.
You did good. You did very good.
Okay, that was my last speaker slip. Oh, sorry. Come on in. What's your name?
I'm Jeanette Vosburg with Sierra Club.
Oh, okay.
Good
morning, go ahead. I must have missed it somewhere.
Yeah, it was with the Margot Griswold.
Oh, I thought you were with Margot Griswold. Okay, go right ahead. You got three minutes.
Okay, so anyway, first I want to acknowledge that all of us support that love of wildlife, I'm sure, or you wouldn't be here. And also, you're concerned, like I am, about the 50% or more decline in the diversity of our planet. Sierra Club, in our interest in Biona, has not reached our conclusions in isolation. We've collaborated with LA Audubon, Defense of Animals, Grassroots Coalition, Biona Wetlands Land Trust, Biona Ecosystem Education Project, and other equally credible, diverse, dedicated Biona organizations and community groups. Many of these groups and their members, including myself, went to Sacramento, and we lobbied for the acquisition of the Biona wetlands beginning in the early 1990s. We're not dilettantes. We've been here, as many of you know, for many years trying to work on Biona. Your lengthy presentation on Biona on Wednesday was really disappointing. It was slanted to support only one preconceived notion, full title. The current draft environmental impact report for Biona Ecological Reserve has no hydrology study and no freshwater seasonal wetland alternative. It focuses only on digging out and industrially bulldozing 70% of Biona. There's over 600 acres. Imagine how much 20 to 30 feet deep. And then taking 15% of the land after they've dug out 70% and putting berms 20 to 25 foot high, higher than the ceiling, effectively eliminating 85% of our freshwater dependent habitat and the wildlife that inhabit it. The alternative would invite saltwater intrusion into a freshwater aquifer designated as potential drinking water for LA. It's a huge thing. It's just something that I cannot conceive you would support without at least considering a freshwater alternative. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other speakers I missed? Okay. That will be the end of public comment, and I believe we can adjourn. Oh, excuse me. Before adjourn, we have a vice chair.
Just one vice chair privilege or commissioner comment before we close. I was a few minutes tardy this morning, but I want to add again my thanks to Commissioner Vargas for his service to the state of California, and my congratulations to you and best wishes to you. You've been a pleasure to work with as a colleague. You're someone I have great respect and affection for. I appreciate the work that you've done. I've watched you as you've served the state through some interesting and difficult times, and I've watched you thunder away on behalf of coastal conservation. I have watched you lead efforts for gender equality on this body. You've contributed greatly to the state, and I just wished you the very best, and thanks for your service, Mark.
Okay, now we're adjourned. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mas.
This must be a Latino thing. We both got here late.
Yeah.
But I too wanna say that, you know, it's been a pleasure working with Mark these last 4 years. When I came on, he was what we call in Spanish a little mocoso, guy with his finger up his nose and green, and but he evolved, and we went through some real tough times together, and he was a compatriot with me, for me, and there, and although he's taken a lot of hits, he's handled every issue with grace, with dignity, with pride. He can walk out of here with his head up high because he has really been a champion for the coast, a champion with this commission, and I'm going to miss you. You have been intelligent, lucid, and I think as what's come down recently on Wednesday, provocative. And I think all that equals to one individual who has done a phenomenal job at this commission, and I'm going to miss you.